the Zionists were very clever in that they saw how they can use Christian Zionists and Christian evangelicals who read the Bible literally and still do, and get them on board. And that was the success of that generation of Zionists.
You mentioned that Israel started with the Balfour Declaration, which gave them the right to the land, but it was given to them by the UK, which also didn't have a right to that land. They were illegally occupying it, and then they gave it. So what was in it? What can you tell me the history? Why did the UK want to give the Balfour Declaration to the Zionists?
Well, the Balfour Declaration is a very short letter that was written by Lord Balfour, who was the foreign minister of the United Kingdom, to a Jewish millionaire by the name of Rothschild. And in this short letter, he says that the United Kingdom views favorably the establishment of a Jewish homeland in Palestine, and that this should not infringe upon the rights of the non-Jews. Now, there were very few Jewish people in Palestine at the time, and there was a vast majority of Muslims and some Christians. To refer to the Palestinians as the non-Jews, I mean, you understand what they're already saying there? The Jews are somehow priority. So basically what I said earlier, you have one white supremacist giving another white supremacist a land that belongs to other people completely. They have no right to whatsoever. Neither one of them has any connection or any right to Palestine. Why they did it, is a long story, and I don't know if we want to get into that. But that is what the Balfour Declaration is, and that gave the impetus to say, well, the British support it, and so now we're going to go, and it's going to be, it was the beginning of the British support for the Zionist colonization of Palestine, without any question.
So what was in it for the UK to do that? I mean, what did they get out of ceding that land to the Zionists?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, Balfour was a rabid anti-Semite, and so I guess one advantage was to get rid of the Jews. Another advantage is to have a European colony in the region, in Western Asia, in Palestine. And they really believed that, the phrase, a land without a people. They knew that there were people there. Everybody knew. I mean, they did commerce with Palestine. They visited Palestine. Palestine was a thriving country. But these people were not people that counted because they were not white. And so it's racism. It's settler colonialism. I mean, we can ask why there's settler colonialism anywhere. Why does one side support the other? These are questions for long, books have been written about this. But I think the Zionists, at the end of the day, the Zionists were very clever in that they saw how they can use Christian Zionists and Christian evangelicals who read the Bible literally and still do, and get them on board. And that was the success of that generation of Zionists.
And so have you heard the theory that the Balfour Declaration was a payback for the Jews for getting America involved in World War One? Have you heard that theory?
I've heard the theory. I've not seen any real evidence, and I spoke to some historians who know the issue very well, and the evidence is tenuous. But it could be. It could have been part of it. I mean, it was well known already that Jews held Jewish people and held important positions of power in the United States and money and so forth. But I have to also say that in those days, the vast majority of American Jews rejected Zionism. The vast majority of Jews around the world rejected Zionism. So that's a big part of the story that is often forgotten. The Reform Movement, which is, the largest kind of Jewish movement, Jewish organization, they were inherently deeply anti-Zionist. The ultra-Orthodox Jews were inherently deeply anti-Zionist. So to connect the two makes no sense if you understand where Jews initially stood on the issue of Palestine, on the issue of Zionism.
So that was quite a magic trick then for the Zionists to pull that off, to get, whereas most of the Jews were against Zionism, it seems like, and now most of the Jews are for Zionism. Is that a correct statement? And how did they pull that off?
I don't know that most Jews, but what the Zionists understood is that education is the key. So if we look at Jewish institutions where the big Jewish communities existed on the East and West Coast, they had their own, the European Jews had their own European culture. They had they spoke Yiddish, they wrote in Yiddish, they had newspapers and theater and so on. That was a thriving culture. And gradually the Zionists came in and slowly but surely killed it, started building what they call like Jewish day schools or Jewish high schools and so on, which are private Zionist schools. And they exist throughout the country and they've done a great job. And so they eliminated, and the Zionists looked down at Yiddish. They looked down at Jewish culture. They looked down at anything that reminded them of Jews. And so they very successfully replaced that culture with Zionism, to the point where really Zionism is the religion of the Zionist Jews. And so I wouldn't say that most Jews are Zionists. I would say the large communities with the big bullhorns are Zionists. And even that now is breaking up. I mean, this is, we're at a point now where there's some serious fractures within those communities. But then you have many Jews who are completely, you know, don't really care one way or the other. And then you've got large Jewish communities everywhere around the world that are very deeply anti-Zionist. And that part and those communities are growing very rapidly, and particularly after October 7th. And so it was a magic trick, but the Zionists were zealots. They believed in the cause. And regardless of what differences they may have had among them, and they had many politically, some were socialists, some were religious, some were right wing, some were this. But when it came to the issue of the state, and I remember this as a kid, you know, in the family gathering, the state was everything. They line up and they plan ahead. And we can see as the movement or the constituency that supports the liberation of Palestine, we're always 100 years back. 100 years behind. Now we're closing in a little bit, but they are so far behind. They foresaw, for example, that Zionism is going to be equated with racism. So they created a new definition of anti-Semitism that includes if you reject Zionism. Who the hell are they to define anti-Semitism anyway? But now across this country and across the West in general, that new definition has taken hold. And that is brought up as the definition of anti-Semitism. So if you reject Zionism, you're an anti-Semite, which is complete nonsense, complete nonsense. Because if you look at Jewish scripture, Zionism is inherently a violation of Jewish law. But so that's the impression that people have, that most Jews are Zionists. But I don't believe that, not for one minute.
So what do you say? Like, I have Jewish friends who say that I'm a Zionist, but I don't support the Greater Israel Project, and I believe in equal rights for Palestinians. And what I say back to those people is then you're not a Zionist. How would you agree with that? And how do you define Zionism?
Well, Zionism defined itself. It's people who believe that all Jews around the world have a right to Palestine at the expense of Palestinians. I mean, it's very simple. That's what Zionism is. And if anybody has any doubt what Zionism is, we have a 100-year history of Zionism in Palestine. We see what the Zionists have done in Palestine. So we don't have to, you know, sit here with theories and philosophies. There is proof on the ground. There's a 100-year almost history of Zionism in Palestine. And what have we seen? We've seen suffering and killing and all these horrific crimes that the Zionists have committed. Systemically, not like a bad apple here or there, but systemically, that's what Zionism is. There's no other Zionism. So like I said earlier, if you claim to be a Zionist, this is it. If you reject that, then the other option is to reject Zionism completely, just like we reject white supremacy, just like we reject anti-Semitism, and on and on and on and on. Zionism is in the same column, so to speak, as white supremacy and other forms of racism, including anti-Semitism. So people have to make a choice, and they don't like to. So they kind of look for some kind of a gray area. But there's no gray area when it comes to racism. You're either a racist or you reject racism.
And is that your message to American Jews? What or do you have one for American Jews?
Well, I think American Jews should look back at their roots and find out just how strongly Jews rejected Zionism in the beginning, and go back to that. It was based on values. And for religious people, it was based on religion. People who are, you know, observant Jews, the rejection of observant Jews, which still goes on today in many places, is based on faith. It's based on the Jewish scripture. So whether you're secular or religious, if you look back at the roots, you will see all the good reasons to reject Zionism and liberate Palestine, because they go hand in hand.
So the Hasidics, correct me if I'm wrong on this, because there's a good chance I am, that they see the state of Israel as being a blaspheme because, according to their biblical text, they say that they're supposed to wait for the Messiah to come back, and then they establish the homeland, but they're doing it before the Savior comes. Do I have that close, or how, can you explain
that? Well, it's so... According to the faith, according to Judaism, the Jews sinned and were therefore expelled. Because like I said earlier, the deal was they get to remain in the Holy Land if they observe God's laws. They didn't, they sinned, they were expelled. And they're not allowed to return until such day that the Almighty shows them that it's okay to return, and that hasn't happened. Now, it's not about sovereignty. It's about worship. The craving of Jews throughout the world for, you know, to come back to Jerusalem and so forth, it's not about sovereignty. It's not about a state. It's not about a homeland. Jews have homelands throughout the world. Wherever Jews live, that's where they are. You have American Jews, or, you know, Mexican Jews, and on and on and on. It's about worship. And the day that the Messiah comes, everybody will worship the Lord, and they will turn their swords into plowshares, and there will be no more war, and that sort of thing. That's the vision of what will happen. It's not about coming in and creating sovereignty and a modern state over all of Palestine. It has nothing to do with that. It's all about worship. And the scriptures very clearly state that Jews are prohibited from mass return and or taking over the Holy Land. And I'll just tell you a little story. There's a great anti-Zionist rabbi in the UK. His name is Rabbi Beck, Elchanan Beck. He's very outspoken. And there was an interview with him. And so he takes the reporter into the synagogue, and the reporter says to him, how is Zionism, you know, a violation of Jewish faith? And he takes him to the Ten Commandments, and he sees, you see this? Thou shalt not steal. You see this? Thou shalt not murder. That's it. Because that's what Zionism is all about. So it's really quite simple why observant Jews reject Zionism. And today, you know, they're rejecting the service in the military, and they're supposed to, you know, they changed the laws there. It's a long story, but tens of thousands of young observant Jews are saying, we will not serve in your army. And these are ones that live, you know, in Palestine.
Right, in Israel. All right, well, Mikko Peled, I appreciate you, the author of The General's Son, and he is now the director of Palestine House of Freedom in Washington, D.C. Thanks for making time for us today. I appreciate it very much. Thanks for filling in our audience on what's happening, and best of luck to you. Do you have any predictions on how this is going to end?
How the situation in Palestine is going to end?
Yes.
Well, it's going to end when the apartheid regime is already crumbling. Now, with this reckless attack on Iran, they're paying a very heavy price, and I think it's going to collapse and be replaced by free, liberated Palestine. I think the model of South Africa is what we're going to see more or less in Palestine.
Really? Okay, and what about the nuclear weapons, though, that Israel has, right? So I'm told they have the thing called the Samson option, and if they feel an existential threat to their Jewish supremacist state, that they will do the Samson option and nuke the world. What do you know anything about that?
Well, South Africa had nuclear weapons too. And on top of that, they had uranium and gold, and they controlled all of Southern Africa. So they were a lot bigger and stronger and wealthier than the state of Israel. But I think at the end of the day, when the realization comes that this is it, they'll see that the sky hasn't fallen, and they will live in a free democracy for the first time ever, and they'll perhaps have a Palestinian prime minister, and the sky is not going to fall. I think by and large, people will opt for life rather than death and destruction.
Wow, fingers crossed. I hope so. I really do. I hope you're right about that. Miko Peled, thank you again very much, and welcome back anytime.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Hey, we'll be in San Antonio, Albuquerque, Houston, Dallas, Salt Lake City, Las Vegas, Burbank, California. That's on May 7th. That's a Saturday. Then we'll be in Tulsa and Oklahoma City, Spokane, Tacoma. Go to jimmydore.com for a link for all those tickets. See you there.